At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This story was inspired by a news article revolving around a Starbucks female restroom. There's been many incidents revolving around creeps or peeping toms spying on females in public change rooms or restrooms. But either way,
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This story definitely takes the cake. What makes this more disturbing was how the individual who submitted this story included a reference photograph of the alleged occurrence. Please do keep this photograph in your mind, as it will be a key component to this story. It's tough being a working student. However, I didn't complain about it. After all, I got a job at Starbucks as a barista. With its dim lights and jazz music, the ambiance was soothing. During break time, I would bring out my laptop and do my homework while drinking coffee. However, one day, I received a disturbing DM from a random guy who we will call Chris Patterson. It was a video clip of me entering a cubicle, taking down my underwear and urinating. Based on the camera's angle, I could instantly tell that it was placed underneath the toilet seat. It was disgusting. I felt violated. I sent him a DM saying,
"What the F is your problem?"
The perverted man replied in a casual tone saying, "I want you to be my girlfriend. It's that simple. If you don't give me what I want, I'll leak it on the internet."
Nice try. Did you actually think you could blackmail me with something like that? Over my dead body.
I replied, outrageously, "Be careful what you wish for, Anna Smith." And that's how we ended our conversation on Instagram. Without a moment to lose, I contacted the police and filed a report against this maniac. A few hours later, I received a call from one of the officers saying that it was difficult to locate the suspect, since he was using a false name and a fake account on social media. However, they reassured me that they'd keep looking into it. When I arrived home, I received another call from an unknown source. I answered it anyway, and I heard the voice of a man chuckling on the other end.
"Who is this?"
I asked curiously, but I received no response. Instead, he snickered incessantly.
I said, "Who is this?"
The man on the other end of the phone harrumphed, seemingly trying to contain his excitement. Moments later, he replied,
"It's me, Chris. I can't stop simping, thinking of you, baby. I sent you a little gift."
"A little gift?"
I confirmed, feeling a bit anxious.
"Yes! Go to your porch, Cupcake. You'll find something on the floor,"
he teased, clearly messing around with me. As soon as I stepped on the porch, I saw a Starbucks cup on the floor. When I picked it up, it had my name on it, and my lipstick mark still on the cup. My heart throbbed fast as I searched my surroundings, feeling paranoid. Still on the phone, he aggressively said,
I know you called the police, Anna. I know everything about you. You don't see me, but I see you. So try doing it again. I'll visit your parents' house, 15 blocks away from where you live. Then I'll kill all of you.
I couldn't utter a single word out of fear. Having noticed that he had my full attention, the man instructed me to be his girlfriend for a week, doing everything a boyfriend and a girlfriend should be doing together. Hence, I did as he imposed. He coerced me to meet with him at Starbucks on my day off. As I entered the coffee shop, I noticed an old, scruffy-looking man who seemed to be in his 40s. He had messy white hair and a demonic smile. Wearing denim pants, a black leather jacket, and a red turtleneck shirt, I was under the impression that he desperately wanted to look young and cool. He waved his hand at me, and I knew that he was Chris. He gestured for me to sit beside him, so that's what I did, even when I hesitated deep inside. He told me that he had already ordered us some drinks and asked if I wanted any pastries, but I shook my head in firm disapproval.
I see. Well, you don't have to be shy,
he said, drooling. My body was as stiff as a wooden plank. I couldn't help but feel uneasy being next to this creep. Then, moments later, he fondled my hand, and then eventually my lap. I jerked and asked him in a low tone to avoid drawing attention to us.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
What do you mean? This is what girlfriends and boyfriends do, right?
He laughed as he scanned my body maliciously. Suddenly, he glanced at me with round, intimidating eyes and said,
Don't forget about our little agreement, Anna. If your parents' lies aren't enough, I can also get rid of your best friends, Carla and Dana, and dump their bodies in a river.
How did he know so much about me? How long had this pervert been stalking me? I fell silent and looked down at the table as he grabbed my hand and emphatically kissed me in public. In the following days, I was forced to stay at his place, where I slept with him. Then, before going to bed, he would firmly tie up my hands and feet with metal chains to ensure that I wouldn't leave his side. 2 days before the end of our deal, my parents called me on the phone to visit their house for a family reunion with my aunts, uncles, and cousins. The creep heard everything and insisted that I take him along and introduce him to the family as my boyfriend. When we arrived at my parents' house, my entire family was shocked to see that I was holding hands with an old man. Mom and Dad knew my taste in men and were ultimately confused. However, to avoid disrespecting their new guest, my dad patted him on the back, while my mom invited him to the dining area where he could enjoy a sumptuous meal. While he was busy introducing himself to my relatives, my mom gestured for me to follow her into the kitchen, where she hugged me and asked,
Honey, where did you get these bruises? And who really is this guy?
I wanted to tell her everything, but when I glanced at Chris, who was sitting comfortably on a chair, he was staring at me with menacing eyes as he fiddled with a steak knife. Without a single word spoken, I knew he was warning me about hurting my family if I said anything to my mom. So, I withdrew my initial thoughts and lied to my mom. I told her that I had an accident at work earlier that week, and that Chris had nothing to do with them. While everyone was laughing in sheer bliss in the other room, I was silent and tense. 1 week eventually passed, and I was finally free. Chris kept his word, but this incident would haunt me forever. Since then, I left my job and avoided using public restrooms. Weeks later, I went to grab a coffee at the same Starbucks and saw the same creep with another woman.
Give me a kiss, Cupcake. You don't have to be so shy.
The woman seemed just as tense as I was. When the man gazed at me, he gave me a wink, and I knew this was going to be a never-ending cycle. I feared for my family's life and my best friend's too, forcing me to stay silent about this incident. Until now.
Technology has reached the point where sometimes even cameras are difficult to see.
And police say one was hidden attached to a toilet in the bathroom of a Starbucks. Happened the location on Outer Drive just off the Southfield Freeway.
It's the size of this pen right here. Now, it's easy to hide and easy to overlook. But police say for days it was watching people inside this Starbucks.
You couldn't see it, but the person on the other end of this camera definitely can see you.
On October 22, 2012, a woman in her early 20s named Whitney suddenly vanished on her way to work at Starbucks. What concluded within the case shocked the entire nation, and unfortunately ended in a brutal fatality. The next animation was inspired by this tragic event. There was a time not so long ago that my only relationship to Starbucks was that I worked there. I wasn't a fanatical customer. I wasn't the owner of a franchise. All I had to do with the coffee chain was the fact that I could be seen in the drive-thru window in the dark hours of the late shift. For a long time, I thought this meant literally nothing. After all, very little business ever came through the drive-thru at the hour, especially given the location I worked at, being somewhere most people consider as the middle of nowhere. Most people were just stopping by to get some caffeine so they could continue with their overnight drives across the middle of the country. The inside was closed anyway, but I doubt most of them would have considered staying for long if it was. It wasn't an urban craft coffee house. It was just a rural Starbucks.
Hi, welcome to Starbucks. How may I take your order?
I'd like a grande iced caramel macchiato with extra vanilla sweet foam, 2 pumps of caramel syrup, 2 pumps of mocha syrup with soy milk and brown sugar topping. Oh, and 2 extra shots of espresso.
I never understood how people could put such diabetic abominations into their bodies and continue to function normally. And it always amused me how they seemed allergic to real cow's milk, as if it was unhealthy or something, when they were about to consume enough sugar to put a toddler into a coma. But that's beside the point. Because for all the silly sorority girls and giggling frat boys coming in to order this unholy concoction, or another, none of them caused anybody any harm. Except, maybe, to their own pancreas. Actually, as a matter of fact, when I look back on those people now, I tend to see them as fond memories of a simpler, more innocent time in my life. More than anything, I wish I could go back to my old life of standing in that drive-thru and feeding people's addictions to caffeine and sugar. Unfortunately, there's just no way that's going to be possible. Not after what happened that night. The night began no different than any other. There was nothing in the air that suggested any of the things that were about to happen. So, when the beat-up old truck rolled into the empty drive-thru without a license plate, I didn't bat an eye. The drive-thru had a couple cameras pointed toward the intercom, so we could easily remember which cars were supposed to be getting what drinks. But it wasn't meant for identifying license plates and tipping off the police about people with expired tags or whatever. For the most part, the truck looked like a textbook local. Some kind of farmhand or factory worker getting roped into some late-night work and stopping in for some coffee. The man inside of it, however, was somehow even worse for wear.
Hi, welcome to Starbucks. How may I take your order?
Your voice sounds just perfect. What do you look like?
Yeah, you'll find out when you come around to pick up your order. What would you like to drink?
You guys do all those fancy coffees, right? I guess I'll get a large hot latte with 2 globs of Starbucks saliva, 2 locks of barista hair, and,
Sir, this isn't funny. You'll have to order something on the menu, please.
Oh, I'm not trying to be funny, sweetheart. I'm serious. I'll give you the biggest tip of your life if you splash some of your very own urine in my drink.
I'm not putting up with this. Would you rather speak to my manager, sir?
No, no, no. I want you to serve me. And I'd really love it if you'd serve me some of your blood with that coffee, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's enough. If you don't get the hell out of here, I'm calling the cops.
I dealt with some seriously rude and disrespectful customers before, but this guy certainly took the cake. I watched him drive off from the intercom, hoping that he would just be some creepy old dude playing some kind of crass joke on a college student, and that he would drive off and not stop at the window. But of course, he wasn't ready to leave yet. He screeched to a stop just outside the window, leaning out of his car door with a strangely apologetic face, pleading something with his hands together. Reluctantly, I opened the window just a crack. "I'm sorry, really. I didn't mean to freak you out. You're just as perfect as you sounded. You know, you have the most beautiful blonde hair. Such long, sultry hair. Anyway, I'm sorry about all that back there. I just want a black coffee." I wasn't sure what to make of the situation. He seemed like he was just some out-of-touch old creep trying to prey on some younger women, which obviously is a terrible thing to do, but I wasn't worried about men like that. I worked at a rural Starbucks, and that was something I'd had to handle a lot of. I could handle myself around creeps like him. It wasn't worth getting reprimanded to deny him service.
"And how will you be paying?"
He held out a clenched fist while he stared at me with hungry, wrinkled eyes, almost drooling over his sagging chin. I ignored his gaze and opened the window a little more to get my arm through. I held out my hand to receive the change, but when he opened his fist, there was nothing in it at all. In the same instant, he latched onto my arm with a vice grip and yanked onto my arm. He was so much stronger than I thought he could be. He pulled me right out through the window and into his car. Right as I got the time to react, just beginning my struggle against him, he struck me over the head with something like a hammer, and I blacked out. When I came to, I was bound to a table, my legs chained up to the ceiling, my clothes nowhere to be found. I realized that I was in that man's cellar when I saw him standing behind a camera on a tripod. I thought I knew what was about to happen, but I had no idea. "Do you know what the Starbucks mascot looks like?"
"No, please just let me go."
"You! The mascot looks like you, you stupid girl! Here's something else I bet you didn't know. The mascot is a mermaid, and I'm gonna make one out of you!"
"No, please don't!"
I've been the head barista at my local Starbucks for several years now. It's an exceptionally busy location, owing to its proximity to the major university that makes up the majority of the city's population. Lots of students and professors use the interior of the Starbucks as a place to get hopped up on caffeine and grind out whatever work it is they have to do. Because of that, I'm quite used to seeing some of the same regulars come in either every day or every other day. Sometimes to stay for a while and sometimes just stopping in for their fix and then going on about their business elsewhere. I used to be one of those people, working on my degree on my laptop and getting addicted to caffeine in the process. But when I graduated, I found out my degree wasn't worth the paper it was printed on, which got me stuck working the evening shift full-time at one of the 10,000 Starbucks in the nation. It's not the way I wanted my life to go, but it's the only option I had. I had to support my mother. She'd been raising me on her own for most of my life. My father had walked out on us so long ago that I couldn't even remember what he looked like. But during that time I spent at work, I wasn't thinking about any of that sob story stuff. I made do with a little bit of self-loathing for picking the wrong degree, which I made up for by maniacally laughing to myself about how the majority of college students I served were making the same mistake I did. That's how I managed to handle all their disrespectful attitudes and cringeworthy entitlement. Of course, there was one customer who was different from the rest. It seemed like he was just out to get me for some reason. He was an older, fatter fellow. He wore a suit every day as if he were trying to be classy or professional. But the condition of his clothing, and of his whole body in general, made him seem like he had been quite unsuccessful in life. Everything about him was tattered, withered, worn out. He didn't fit in with the coffee shop crowd. He was too old to be a student, but also too unkempt and downtrodden to be a professor. Despite this, within a week of his first visit to the location, he identified himself as a regular, just because of his downright unhealthy addiction to caffeine. Unfortunately, his dependence on coffee was the only typical thing about him. He always came during the hours that I was holding down the front counter, and every day his order was the same. "Black coffee, hot, in the largest size you have. Would you like any room for cream or sugar?" "No, no, I said black. More room for coffee." Not only would he refuse to say any of the Starbucks brand sizes, which honestly I respect, but he would also stare at me very intensely the whole time. Lots of people will watch me while I make their coffee, but mostly those people are the Karens in training who order super complicated drinks and love to be nitpicky and nasty. Pouring a cup of black coffee is literally the easiest thing I can do all day, yet this man would watch me like a hawk as I did it. And here's your coffee, sir. Expertly done, young man. Thank you. But the stares wouldn't end there. After getting his coffee, he'd waddle over to a table in a far corner, then pull a flyer out of his briefcase and begin to read it. At first, this didn't seem unusual to me. Reading is a common thing to do in a coffee shop, but it didn't take me long to realize what was amiss about his particular choice of reading material. When I say flyer, I mean like a flyer you get in the mail. I'm pretty sure it was a furniture catalog or something. Whatever it was, it certainly couldn't have actually entertained anyone for more than 5 minutes. Despite that, this guy would read the flyer like it was a whole novel. I started to get suspicious after just a couple hours. I initially thought he might be some older creep coming into a college town to try and find some younger girls to prey on, which raised my guard. I'm basically the evening manager at Starbucks, so I felt it was my responsibility to make sure he didn't hurt anyone. But again, it didn't take long for me to realize there was something off about that picture. I would steal away many glances in his direction, and not once did I catch him looking at anyone else but me. I would be able to feel his eyes on me the whole time I was busy, and when I finally got a chance to look over at him, he'd just flip up the corner of the flyer to cover his eyes like it was a newspaper or something. And I also have to mention just how much coffee this man drank. I never once saw him with a cup of water, but he would come up to me at least once every single hour of my shift and ask for a refill of his coffee. Now don't get me wrong, one or two, maybe even just three cups of coffee is normal enough. But 6, 7, even 8 cups of coffee in a single day? That's just a problem. This all went on for a couple weeks. I never really had a reason to justify kicking him out, though I certainly wanted to. That was the case until he started trying to follow me home. He got in the habit of staying in the shop until close. And when I told him he had to leave, he would walk outside rather begrudgingly, then just stand right in front of the door. He didn't harass any of my coworkers, but when I tried to leave, boy did all that caffeine come out to play. One night I got fed up and snapped at him.
We're getting pretty close now, don't you think? Why don't we hang out? You sure make a mean cup of coffee. We could stay up all night and chat, you know? What if I hired you to make coffee at my place? Or I'll pay you for coffee at your place. You wouldn't mind if I came over, would you?
Get away from me, man! I don't know you! Just go to the dive bars like the rest of the people your age and leave me alone!
After that night I yelled at him, things got a little sketchier. The next day, he was different. He was no longer even bothering to fake read that stupid flyer. He was just staring me down unimpeded. Even my coworkers started to get freaked out by him. What was also concerning was that he had stopped drinking coffee and switched to straight espresso. In that one day, he probably had 20 shots of the stuff, which is just an inhuman amount of caffeine to consume. Just thinking about it made me a little sick. But on this day, the man had a question he wanted to ask me every time he came up to order another double shot. And every time, the question was the same.
Roger. That's your name, is it? Your name tag says so. What about your last name?
My last name has nothing to do with coffee, sir. Forget about it.
Oh, don't be like that, man. I'm just curious. Just tell me what's your last name.
I lost track of how many times he asked me. Every time I talked to him, he got a little more unhinged and hyperactive. He started talking faster and louder, and I began to see the blood vessels in his neck and face bulge with unhealthy pressure. His eyes turned bloodshot and began to over-dilate.
Oh, come on, man. It's just a name. It doesn't mean anything. Just tell me your last name. Fine. I'll tell you if you just shut up. My last name's Walker. Happy?
Well, isn't that funny? That's my last name.
He collapsed to the floor very suddenly, in the middle of speaking, never finishing his sentence because his mouth was spasming and full of foam. And then the heart attack took him. It seemed pretty obvious that the caffeine overdose had contributed to it. But that alone wasn't it. I called an ambulance and they came and identified the man as Jonathan Walker. My heart sunk all the way down to my stomach. I have very fleeting memories of my father from childhood, however he abandoned my mom and I 15 years ago. He was estranged for longer than I could remember, and though he looked very different all those years later, I knew in my heart that this guy was him. He tried to reconnect with me in his own strange and maladjusted way, and I hadn't noticed until it was too late. I knew that amount of caffeine was enough to give someone a heart attack, but up until I realized he was my father, I hadn't cared about his well-being. I'd go back and change it if I could, but what's done is done.